to be top secret like a Shaolin temple. But now I'm off the hills and solar full of that ripple. I'm watching the end angle like a past participle. Mix my ripple with moat for sham pipple. Taking spring water hits us a mid pine thistle. That good, good green that'll wet your whistle. Hey, smoke out food, don't be pulling your pistol. And get your girl hit with my mass destruct missile. See, chewing out the frame like a brand new pistol. Struck a jawbone down to a marrow and gristle. Full face of blow bubbles and rub it on your pimples. She left the hotel smelling like a sack of hot crystals. And pistol smoke, it went for broke. Then I put it in her throat and she burped and choked. Should have told you how chunky it was. Go and get your girlfriend so she can help you out. Scream it out now. It ain't easy, man. Claim fame. My old God put me in the game. I'll be a man amongst boys forever. Living life like a grown man. A grown man.
What's up, Geek Pigs? It's your boy T.Y. Mobile bringing you the latest episode of the Direct Edition, where you get the latest news in comic books, video games, anime, action figures, and related movies. If you haven't heard, Dick Giordano passed away Saturday, March 27th of 2010. So we came together, decided to do a little tribute issue of some artists, writers, and some comic talent that have passed on in the last few years. So, you know, we got the roundtable discussion going on. We got Dirty C. Jeezy in the house.
Lobo for president.
We got Master Jushin.
Legalized prostitution.
And, you know, and I like that. That's the best one you've ever had. That's a great. I didn't think. That's awesome, man. Hey, man, just give me some dap on that one. Yes.
Did you wash your hands?
Yes, I did.
You got all sorts of skeetage on your
hands. Yeah. Why are my hands sticking together? My fingers.
And we got Mad Wicked.
He can't follow that.
That's what you call
he can't
blank.
Follow that. Yeah, you can't follow sorry. That.
Forgive me.
My bad.
Forgive me. Forgive me. Let's press on.
So we were going over some of the talent that's moved on in the last few years and didn't really come up with a huge list, but, you know, some of the ones that we did come up with were quite noteworthy. You know, as I said, Dick Giordano passed on March 27th, 2010.
Much love to him and his family.
You know, he has our condolences from the Direct Edition.
Absolutely. What a great guy.
He was absolutely.
And a great and a very nice man.
Very nice man.
Very nice man. Who gave some of his time, who was a comic book legend, to a bunch of punks, you know, up here in Jacksonville, Florida, and kind of, you know, was very nice and happy to see us and, you know, and always had something nice to say.
Always.
Never heard one bad word come from that guy.
Well, shoot, let's take it back a few. But I think it was Massachusetts, I think you said 2005. Will Eisner. Will Eisner passed on in 2005. If you don't know Will Eisner, he was the creator of The Spirit. Not too long ago was a major, what was it, major motion picture?
Yeah.
Not too long ago, it was a motion
major
picture.
Major motion picture? What are you talking about? Eve Mendez was butt naked. That was major to me. I bought it just for that scene alone. What are you talking about? And yes, that was major.
And if you haven't heard of The Spirit, maybe the Eisner Awards, you know, it's... They recognize a good deal of talent in the comic industry and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and and it's for everybody. I mean, like I said, that man crossed a lot of spectrums, dude.
True, but some of the stuff that Will Eisner did that we may not know about, he started off with Bob Kane.
Yeah.
The creator of Batman. The
creator of Batman.
Yes, he
did.
And
that was only when he was 19.
I mean, dude, this guy was late. I mean, they talk about guys, you know, who were around at that time. Dude, this dude laid the foundation for pretty much the modern superhero in DC Comics.
Yep, in 1936.
Yeah, in 36, dude. And especially when the hero was not an American culture icon. Most of the comics that people got were mystery comics.
There you go.
You know, monster comics, you know, to some degree. Detective issues and stuff like that. Man, this
Detective Noir books.
Or like they might have one barbarian adventure of some dude you have never heard of or whatever. You know, I mean, dude, these guys were laying down, you know, the foundation, like I said before. And, you know, just for anybody out there that thinks they're like some new hot up and coming writer, you thought of something, dude, any kind of story that's come up, this dude has already done. Now, people change and stuff like that, but whatever's been wrote, this guy did it first.
Yep. And he was even drafted for World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
Eisner was drafted for World War II. It was 41 1942. He was in the army for a while.
Right, he was a Jew. Was he a Jewish immigrant or his dad was a Jewish immigrant.
Yeah,
and I think it was in his genes because his dad was like a painter or something.
Yeah, he worked on Kid Colt.
Mm-hmm. American, some of the first American westerns, you know, to be given to the American, you know, mainstream.
And even to this day, some of them are brought back out every now and then.
Good point. Good point. They're coming back. In fact, if you look at the new previews for April 2010. They've got three Kid Colt books coming out or something like that I had seen. And also, you know, the visualization that it says, you know, that the guy came up with like, because comic strips at that time was just two people kind of facing each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you start to get the dynamics of the picture and people talking and from different angles and stuff like that, I mean, dude, this dude was groundbreaking. Like I said, anything that has been considered great, you know, was just, you know, either, you know, came from the foundation of which he laid, dude. I mean, it could be a little bit different, tweaked here, tweaked there, killed somebody here, killed somebody there. But, dude, that dude did it first.
And he not only, with his visuals, he didn't stop there because he took his the use of comics when he went into the Army and he, you know, changed it and used it for training personnel and publication.
Really?
It was,
wow.
What was it? Army Motors is what it was called. And he created about a bumbling soldier named Joe Dope.
Joe Dolt?
Dope.
Dope? D-O-P-E?
Yep. Yeah. And he illustrated various methods.
That's awesome.
He said he illustrated various methods of preventive maintenance of various military equipment and weapons.
Wow, right. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I can tell you right now, we could use a couple of those in the Marine Corps.
He was the creator of the Spirit. He had the Eisner Awards. And I mean, he may have been one of the first ones that kind of shifted comics towards the mainstream with the Army personnel. I mean, it may not have been a big jump start back then, but getting it into the military outside of the written manuals and whatnot. So he may have been kind of ushered that in.
And reading this, this is something that I just found out because I'm looking at now. This dude was so bad. The dude won the National Cartoonist Society Comic Book Award 67, 68, 69. Oh, but don't think it stopped there. Also jumped forward in 87 and 88, as well as the Story Comic Book Award in the 70s. So basically, his writing and art style was kicking ass from the 60s, from the 50s, really, 60s, 70s, and 80s. That dude was just badass. Yeah.
Dedication to
maybe some of these new guys might need to look back and see, you know, how these guys really did it back in the day. But
Will Eisner's just one of the ones we got, you know, and also we have Dave Cockrum.
Oh.
Dave passed on in 2006.
Oh.
And if you have ever heard of X-Men characters,
yeah.
Nightcrawler, Storm, Colossus,
Thunderbird. Don't forget Thunderbird.
Thunderbird, who's that guy?
Hey man, he kissed my ass.
Dave Cockrum was a co-creation of those X-Men characters.
Thunderbird.
And Thunderbird.
Thank you.
They were colorful characters too. If you've ever read those when they came out.
Yeah, that's when they first started. You know, it's just not, you know, all white guys in the X-Men.
Dude, they were international. You had Sunfire from Japan.
Yep.
You had Banshee from Ireland. You had a Storm from Africa. Colossus from Russia.
Nightcrawler from Germany.
Which how Russians and Germans, only 40 or 50 years after the, you know, World War II got along so well. Hey, but whatever. You know, you had a little run in there. You know, the little Canadian guy, eh? You know? You know, some guy that said bub every day, all the time. And actually, when he was a pretty damn good character. You
before
know?
He was overused.
Yeah, before he was in everything. I mean, dude, that dude drew from the best. If you ever want to go get a collection, go get X-Men 94. Now, it's going to cost you a little bit.
Yeah
you're going to have to pay a little bit now, bro. Giant size number one and 94 through about 200. Those will be the best comic book investments you'll ever have. They had the greatest stories, the greatest visualization. Him and John Byrne were just unreal.
Or if you're just cheap like me, you can just buy the essentials that don't have no color and have a whole bunch of the stories inside of them.
Or unlike cheap ass Jushin, buy the trade paperback, you know.
Hey, still got the stories in there.
Hey, you ain't lying. I love okay. it. Hey, to each their own. You're right. You know, I mean, dude, I mean, that guy drew people from space, aliens.
Yeah.
You know, the Shi'ar Empire Guards. I mean, the Imperial Guards.
He did some work for DC. He updated the uniforms for the Legion of Superheroes.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the costumes that he made for these guys was just unprecedented because it's funny. In X-Men, if you'll notice, they may leave those costumes, but somehow, some way, they keep going back to those essential colors and layouts.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think somewhere, I believe it was somewhere that Dave Cockrum came over to Marvel because DC wouldn't allow him to create Nightcrawler.
Yes.
Nightcrawler almost became a DC character.
Absolutely. Yeah, I heard that too.
He came over in X-Men, yeah.
And he Good brought point. Nightcrawler with him.
And I'm going to tell you this, when he designed...
I love him for it.
Yeah, and, you know, with Thunderbird... He was the first real superhero that was a casualty and death. You know, he was one of the first deaths in Marvel.
Yeah.
Nobody had really died at that point in time. Not many good guys have died.
Yeah. Except Uncle Ben.
Except
somebody has Uncle Ben posted.
Oh, hey, that's a great point. Not.
But just some more of the stuff that Dave Cockrum did. He redesigned the costume for... Miss Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
He. Oh, what's this about his angry resignation?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that. Something like he wasn't happy with. What was it? He was like not happy with the way he was being used or something.
They say it was printed in Iron Man number 127 from 1979.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. But like I said, he was a penciler, you know, and an inker in a number of, you know, titles.
So he was the primary cover artist for Marvel during 1979,
yep.
During that time period.
And that guy was an amazing artist, man, especially for his time. He was way ahead of his time, bro. Way, way ahead of his time.
And, of course, we mentioned John Size X-Men number one.
One of the greatest covers ever made.
And then it says and he relaunched Uncanny X-Men.
Yep.
With issue number 94.
94. Once again, a lot of people may not know this, you know, and I think our issue 68 or 69, something like that, they had stopped printing X-Men and then started reprinting old issues of them. So, like yeah. X-Men, like around number 70 to 92 were all reprints of old X-Men stories with different covers, and then he relaunched them into what is probably the greatest team concept comic book in the mainstream right now.
Wasn't that back in the day, or weren't they reprinting back in the time when the comics were... They were having a hard time trying to sell comics in. Wasn't it?
I don't think it was because of the comic code, though. I don't think that was the time of the comic code, if I'm not mistaken.
I just wondered, but I do remember, yeah, I do remember that. That was the one thing that used to confuse me a lot about the X-Men. You would see the same story with two different
Two different covers or a different number or which not.
Well, I was also going to say is that, you know, when he fell ill or whatnot, Marvel had granted him part ownership of the X-Men.
Really?
Yeah.
That I didn't know.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you know, I might be a little off here. You know, somebody might have to research this. But, yes, here it is right here. You know, that due to pressure that was from Clifton Meth, Marvel announced that it would compensate Cockrum for his work in co-creating the X-Men. So, you know, he got paid for co-creating them, basically, you know.
It is just a shame they took him that long.
Yeah, that's disgusting that Marvel did that.
And shoot, and then there were some tributes to him in X-Men: The Last Stand, the novelization. So they named the president David Cockrum, and his longtime associate Chris Claremont.
Mm.
So they created a character after him in The Exiles.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was it?
So it was just a homage character.
Okay.
Who eventually moved on at the end of X-Men: Die by the Sword.
Okay. Like I said, man, dude was a phenomenal, phenomenal artist.
I'm going to shoot another one down the line. Mike Waringo. Mike passed away in 2007. He did, where do I start? He was at DC working on The Flash with Mark Waid. Some of the runs he did, Terminal Velocity run.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That was one of my favorite runs.
Yeah. And he also worked on the Fantastic Four.
Yep. Fantastic Four.
And some pretty good issues that he had with that.
But shoot, he brought the, with Mark Waid, it was Flash Volume 2 that he started. I think I'm saying he penciled all but two issues from issue number 80 to 92. He went through, he penciled some covers. He even co-created with Waid Bart Allen, Impulse.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. I remember that issue when he first came into it, when he first was created.
I did not know that.
Out of nowhere.
He did a short run on Robin, Rogue, number 1 through 4, 1995.
Okay.
Was that a DC?
No.
Or was that?
That was Marvel.
That was that short mini they gave Rogue.
Yeah, the mini series they gave Rogue.
Well, didn't they just have a Rogue mini series like lately? That's the only reason I'm asking is because
it was the first one they did.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
To Malibu Comics, he did some work with them.
Oh, wow.
Good old Malibu.
A comic called Firearm, Godwill, all with Malibu Comics. I never heard of them.
I heard of Malibu Comics,
but I think Marvel picked them up later on because they had Ultra Force.
Yeah, that was Ultra Force.
Well, I was going to say this. There was one that came out, you know, at around 99 that was called Telos.
Yeah, that was his baby. That was his creation.
That was awesome. That was visually stimulating. I mean, it was just a damn nice book to look at.
And just the characters he created, the fantasy realm that he took him into.
That big old tiger.
Oh, man, I love that too.
Yeah. You know, and also then, you know, once again, like we said before, you know, got on the Fantastic Four, you know, and, you know, drew 27 of 36 issues or whatever.
Yeah, again with Mark Waid.
Mm-hmm.
Working with Mark Waid, did some Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
And unfortunately, you know, once again, I think he was only 44 when he died.
Yeah.
What did he wind up dying from?
I think it was...
Died of aortic dissection?
I think it was a heart attack.
Oh, okay.
You want to look up aortic dissection?
No, that's okay. It's got something to do with your heart, I would assume.
Yeah, it has something to do with your heart. So we're going to claim that on the
yeah,
heart.
He also did say, wow, in reading this, you know, at the time of his death, he completed 7 pages of a what-if story, you know, which were always one of the coolest things, I think, ever that Marvel came up with.
Except for the most recent ones that they've been trying to put out.
I'm not too excited.
Some of them they've actually done that were pretty decent, but recently, only like one or two that I've actually liked. Like the What If Annihilation story, that was pretty okay. But other than that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe some of them guys can look back and, you know.
What if Wolverine was Lord of the Vampires during Inferno? I mean, or what if Wolverine was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Or like something like that, because those were good What If issues.
Yeah, good point. You know, one of them, Wolverine became the president.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? How did a Canadian become president of the United States? But hey, okay, whatever. Yeah, bub.
USA.
Yeah, USA. No way, A. I just, you know what's so bad about Wolverine with me is I always picture him like the McKenzie brothers. No way, A. Take off, A. You hoser. You know, sitting back drinking a beer, you know.
Because he's always drinking a beer.
Yeah, and smoking a, he hadn't done that too much as of late, cigars, has he?
Yeah, they released some, if you notice. When Joe Q came on as editor-in-chief, everybody stopped smoking.
Yeah, because nobody smokes nowadays.
Yeah, everybody stopped smoking.
And you want to make a good role model.
They didn't want to send the kids that they
Yeah,
smoke.
They didn't want to go through that whole thing that Joe the Camel went through with Camel cigarettes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because, you know.
Kill Joe's image.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they cut all of that out, smoking and everything.
Yeah, but, you know, Marvel characters can have sex and, you know, do everything else, but they can't smoke.
Sex won't kill you.
It won't? Oh, okay, my bad.
It's the STD.
Or it might give you the gift that keeps on giving. Be walking around here calling you fire crotch or something.
You know, I knew a girl named fire crotch.
I believe it.
Who did, you nasty? I did.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
But another late, great talent. Oh. A personal favorite. Honorary member of the Direct Edition.
I think everybody here has met him. Oh, also,
absolutely. Has everybody met him?
Matt, I know I got two pieces of artwork by him.
Massachusetts, you met?
I got autographed by him thanks to you and your wife.
You know, I do what I can do. Mm-hmm. And that's the late, great,
Mike Turner.
In 2008, he passed from bone cancer, wasn't it?
Bone cancer, yeah. He had complications earlier. You know, just a little story. I know, you know, I don't want to get too long-winded, but he made an appearance here in Jacksonville. And I had a surfboard custom made with Fathom on it. And when he came, they actually used my surfboard, you know, when he came in. He signed it, was like, you know, some artists are like, man, I don't appreciate you, you know, using my character on your board or anything like that.
Yeah.
But that dude was totally cool with it, thought it was a good idea. One of the most personal guys around, loved to eat sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah, good friends with Tim Wade, and he was just one of the nicest guys you ever want to talk to.
Yep, he was. Because a story that I went to one of the Wizard Worlds.
In Texas, yeah.
Yeah, and he was out there signing and selling his prints. I think this was around the time where he was just about to kick off, you know, Aspen Comics.
Right.
And, you know, if you've been to any Wizard World convention, they cap the line early. So I got capped. I was the last guy holding a little sign that line ends with me. And I got up to them, and they were rushing everybody along. You know, the sign here, you know, move on, you know, sign here, move on. And I got to them, and I was like, you know, hey, Mr. Turner, you know, I'm a huge fan. I like all your work, and, you know, I really appreciate you, you know, signing my books. And he was like, yeah, no problem. And then the guy from Wizard World or whoever came up, he's like, all right, move on. And he actually said, no, it's all right. You know, you chill out. And mm-hmm. I was like, you know, that's pretty damn cool right there.
You ain't lying about that. And that don't surprise me about that,
no,
dude.
No, because isn't it been said about he's even quoted himself saying that he wouldn't be there without his fans. And he always took the time.
You know, he was actually discovered. One thing that I had read up on him, he was discovered by Mark Silvestri at a comic book convention. Dude, he was one of us. Yeah. I mean, he's like every fanboy out there, you know.
And they put him on Witchblade?
Yeah. Oh, no, they actually put him on
Backgrounds or something.
Yeah, they made him do Backgrounds. And then they had him do Ballistic, I think it was called. I can't remember what.
I do remember
Ballistic. What was it, Ballistic or something like that?
I don't know if it was his first, but I do remember seeing his work in the Ballistic.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this now. I mean, I don't know about anybody here. This is just Dirty C's personal opinion. But he elevated heroism to the next level with female characters, because they were the best looking things I had ever seen.
Not only heroism, but female anatomical art.
Yeah. Oh God. Because I could look at his art all day long and be happy.
You had to bring your A game on the reel.
Yeah. And then, you know, and I'm going to say this, I'm not a Superman fan at all, but one of his covers from Batman Superman is the best looking Superman I've ever seen in my entire life. That's the best looking.
My favorite Lois Lane was from that one he did.
Good call.
Was that the Man of Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
No, that wasn't Man of Tomorrow. Where he was trapped in the Bottle City of Candor.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The alien woman, yeah.
Good call, Jushin.
And when he went to work on some of the covers for DC, wow, that the first poster I ever bought, mm-hmm. Was the one that he drew of the Teen Titans when they were mm-hmm. launching the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Beast Boy was a tiger, and Starfire in the back, mm-hmm. Cyborg, and Wonder Girl.
And Raven was in the background.
That was the good first poster I ever bought from DC characters. And he even started, and the next one I bought was when he did the cover for The Flash. He did the cover where he was just standing there alone.
Finally a guy who made Flash's legs pretty damn big. I mean, dude.
For a runner.
For a runner, yeah. I mean, think of that, a runner with big-ass legs. I mean, dude, he did so much stuff, man. I mean, dude, I could sit there this whole time and tell you about it, man. I mean, if you want to find a beautiful, just color, art, anything, I think it was either Witchblade 25 or 50 where her and Fathom are in a waterfall together. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's every fanboy's dream, bro. I'm telling you, I'd go to the bathroom a couple times by myself, and I had sex with both of them. with myself, of course, but that's beside the point. I'm just saying, dude. I mean, it was that damn good. That dude, and I mean, like I said, everybody said, you know, oh, all his characters look alike. No, I think Batman looked pretty damn cool, you know, and he made characters look cool. Like when Batman and Superman, he did some of the interiors, and Batman had to do something underwater, and he just gave them the nastiest, coolest looking underwater gear.
Yeah.
And I hate Batman and Superman, yeah. but I'm like, dude, those guys look fantastic.
It's like he was giving them a fresh look, all, and it was mm-hmm. still the traditional look that they've always had.
Yep. And but drew the best dark side I'd ever seen.
Yeah, but when he brought it,
when he did Corrupted Supergirl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that one where she's laying down or right beside. Oh my God!
And
she made her a dirty girl.
And you may have heard. You may have heard T.Y. Mobile mention it before, but the first time Big Barda ever came on my radar was when she was drawn by Michael Turner.
Amen. Go ahead and tell that part. Go ahead.
It was during that when Supergirl came back. It was the story arc that he did. And Batman and Superman, of course, Supergirl had went up to the dark side with Darkseid. Yep. Get it? Darkseid with Darkseid.
Yeah.
And they had to find a way to get to Apocalypse to get her back. Uh-huh. So, of course, who did they go to? Mr. Miracle. But Mr. Miracle went home at the moment.
Yep,
and Big Barda coming out of the shower. Woo! All that wanting and yearning and
needing and wanting.
Years. Woo! Might so, make your head pop off.
Pop goes weasel because weasel goes. You know, hey, bro, all I'm saying is this, y'all need to go get that. For anybody who listens to this stupid show, go get you some of that, man. I'm telling you. And what he did was so fire. And if you look at it from an entrepreneur, look what that dude did. I mean, he started out in Top Cow, which is really not what, which wasn't a promotion. And he basically made the company about him. So then he broke off and started Aspen Comics.
Yep.
And look how that blew up. I mean, dude, that dude is up there, in my opinion, in the same light as Todd McFarlane and all these other guys. Because, I mean, but he still did enough work in the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And he and I'm gonna tell you another one, you know. And I keep going back to the Batman Superman, the one of where she's flying in the air, where Supergirl's flying in the air in that blue background. I'm like, yeah. Man,
and
that
when they made a statue based on that yes. design, right?
There. Yep. Yes, amen, brother. Speak
and even
it.
What he did with Wonder Woman in Identity Crisis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes, all the covers with the Justice League.
Yes, yes.
All the covers.
Of and one thing about Michael Turner, he kept working to the very end.
Yeah, exactly. X-Men 500, the best issue. Oh my God!
Some of the old man Logans, the Wolverine, Hulks. Oh, I mean, he stayed busy.
I'm gonna tell you what impressed me about him too. Now that you bring that up, and I just thought about this, he made team shots look phenomenal. Not just the women, but do you remember when you know all of a sudden somebody was gonna die in DC? I can't remember what it was called, but there was a death coming or whatever, and they were at the funeral, and Batman and Superman and all of them were all over. And I think Wonder Woman was holding a flower.
Yes.
I mean, dude, that made me buy the comic book by itself, and I had no interest.
I think that was Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis.
When Sue Dibney had died, and everybody went to the funeral.
Yeah.
That was a good.
And you know what? That's in my just for me. That story arc was terrible because they let it up to be somebody big, and it's just, what is it, Elongated Man's wife or whatever died?
No,
it's like
the
Adam's wife died. Big fucking deal. Who cares? But anyway, I mean, because the art was so damn good, I bought it. And I'm not a big DC guy either. Boy, Mike Turner, dude, we miss you, bro.
We'll see you again someday.
Yeah.
Just a
couple. Hey, and how about the Wolverine?
Yeah. Oh, I got that poster at my house.
Uh-huh.
The Wolverine stretched out in his claws.
I think just about everybody here probably has, like you said, you know, T1. I don't know about Juju.
Maybe she's still on hold right in my hold now.
I have artwork of his hanging on my walls.
Yep.
The Triple Threat poster he had when he came out with Witchblade, Fathom, and Laura Croft.
Yep. Yeah.
Hangs in my living room to this day, Jack.
I don't have a poster, I got that autographed when he was here, too.
Yeah, and in fact, my wife said, are you really going to? I said, you damn straight. Can we take it? Don't you even think about it. I'll kick you out before you take that down off my wall, Jack.
A quick little side note, too, was that he was he also became close with Jeff Loeb's son, Sam mm-hmm. Loeb,
yep.
He wrote the, what was that, Superman Batman number 26?
The tribute issue to him?
Yeah, the tribute issue.
And a whole bunch
him.
Of artists got together and did four pages of it or something like that?
Because they both had the same type of bone cancer.
Really?
Yeah. So they were saying that when Jeff Loeb's son, Sam Loeb was his name, when mm-hmm. Sam Loeb passed away, they said Mike Turner took it pretty hard because they had become close because of the treatments and everything that they were going through.
Wow. And you know what? Kind of to add on to what Wicked had said, you know, not only did this dude keep going to the very end, you know, drawing and whatnot, but, dude, I've never heard anybody say one bad word about that guy.
Yeah.
Never have I ever. I mean, some people have critiqued his artwork or whatever, but as an artist, especially as mega talented as he is, there are inferior artists that pretty much, you know, as y'all can probably know, are assholes. But that dude was just one of the coolest dudes ever to meet. You know, as in looking, you know, for what he did, you know, Teen Titans, Superman, Batman, Supergirl, Identity Crisis, Witchblade, Tomb Raider. You know, did he make Tomb Raider really? I think so.
Yes.
I mean, the covers alone were selling that book, yeah. You know. And then he did Hulk, you know, and X-Men and Black Panther and Civil Fantastic War. Four, Ultimates.
Civil War.
Wow.
Yes, the Civil War covers.
Wow.
Some of the, after Captain America passed away, how he's doing the alternate covers. Yeah.
The Fallen Son.
The Fallen Son. God bless you, Mike. You are sorely missed, brother.
Didn't he do the Fantastic Four when Black Panther and Storm joined in?
Yes. Yes, he did.
You know, speaking of covers, that when we went to the convention, I got that sketch variant of the Old Man Logan he did.
Mm-hmm.
Got that then.
Oh, yeah. Good cover, too.
Yeah.
Excellent cover.
Darkness, Witchblade, Violent Messiahs.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of talent.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know what? The one good thing I liked about a lot of his stories were that he came out with were actually good, well-written stories with great artwork. Yeah. I mean, that's so few and far between nowadays. You know, it makes it not. It, you know, they always say, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and you know when that cat left, boy, there was a big hole.
And sure, now we're up to Dick Giordano.
God bless him and his family.
Richard Giordano. Well, shoot, he got his start. Well, I don't know if that was a start, but he's best known for Charlton Comics.
Mm-hmm.
When he did some work on Charlton Comics.
And he brought over a couple characters to DC, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He brought over, The Question?
The Question was part of Charlton, along with, I believe, Captain Adam.
Captain Adam sounds familiar.
Gold and a Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle and I think Captain Adam. Confirm that later on, but
that's what we're just going off of memory here, guys. Like I said, if you're stupid enough to listen to this show, just take us for what we are. But you know, like you said, that dude rose up and became pretty much the editor of Batman. I mean, Batman's greatest runs, were Batman, under that guy. Batman.
That was when Frank Miller. When Frank Miller did his
he was the
Batman
editor-in-chief
run,
of DC at the time,
Dick Giordano was the editor-in-chief.
He was the editor-in-chief? I thought he was vice president, but he did make editor-in-chief? I didn't even know that.
Because I read the
editorial director.
I remember, because I was reading my Batman vs. Predator, the original Batman vs. Predator the other day. He was editor-in-chief at that time.
Yeah, and when I went back and collected Batman and Outsiders from 1963, Dick Giordano's name was listed on there.
Wow. And he's also the one who was pretty much had given a lot of guys in D.C. their start. Like, I remember he told us one time that he gave Frank Miller basically his start.
Yeah.
I mean, after rejecting him a couple times, but hey.
I got a story.
Boy.
And this one, and of course, you know how much here at the Direct Edition, we love Rob Liefeld.
Kill him.
But he told us one time that when he was
the jackass wanted to create a Captain America comic.
No, Dick Giordano was at when he was at DC Comics, and he was giving Rob Liefeld his start. Rob Liefeld drew the entire book sideways,
like he did in X-Force.
Yeah, I remember.
What in the hell, man?
He drew the entire book sideways, and what did Dick Giordano do? He sent that shit back to him.
No, he did.
He sent that shit like, "Hey, bro."
I don't know what you've been.
There's some good art. By the way, we're gonna need you to draw this the normal way.
Hey, bro.
I don't know what you're smoking, cuz, but could you put the pages right side, if you don't mind? Thank you.
We are sending you a personal assistant to stand over your shoulder and let you know when you were doing something fucking stupid. Yeah. So when you start, you're like, that looks fucking stupid.
Yeah. Slap him around and put him in their place. I want to say also, too, he also gave Eric Larson his start. I want to say that.
Yeah, I think so. So, I think the list goes on and on of how many artists.
There's a lot of dudes that do. And you know what? I think he was the one guy. He was essential in starting the Vertigo line of DC. And with Alan Moore, he was like one of the guys who spearheaded the Watchmen.
Yeah. Because that was under his run, too.
Yep, and, you know, scrutiny abound, you know, with everything that had happened. Yeah, Neil Gaiman, too, okay, excuse me. And Neil Gaiman, you know.
By the end of the 80s.
Yeah, by the end of the Vertigo. And you got to remember, that point in time, you know, full frontal nudity in comics was unheard of.
Considered for kids.
Yeah, and you know, you got Dr. Manhattan walking around just not caring.
That swinging in the breeze.
Look at this. That's what he was saying.
Yeah. That's right, bitch. I got a blue dick.
Those are the Manhattan balls dangling above your fucking
house. Hey, you know what's so funny though about the movie is that everyone who went to go see this who didn't even know it was a comic book, and they were just surprised when you saw that fucking blue motherfucker just floating there, balls and all. Everyone was. And throughout the whole fucking movie, that shit was just hilarious. People like, because I remember your friend, he was sitting there trying to tell his daughter, and you were like, I'm sorry, man, I didn't know about that. He's like, no, it's okay. I'm like, yeah, she's learning about sex education early. That's yes, a little she sad.
Did. No, baby, not all penises are blue.
Watchmen, go see it. There's going to be dick and balls.
Now, getting back to the legacy of Jake Giordano, I mean, here's one thing that I just found out. Giordano also inked over George Perez's pencils in the 86 crossover for Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Oh, man.
Shoot,
oh,
look nice. At that.
So, once again, you know, his skills were abound.
But shoot, in the 80s, he was the go-to guy for relaunching some of the major characters.
Oh, the DC guys. He brought Superman, Batman, a whole bunch
Wonder
of them.
Batman, Flash, Green Lantern, Justice League, Good Teen call. Titans.
Yeah.
And he helped relaunch all of those in the 80s.
You know what it is, too, is talking to him is... He doesn't, you know, he was all about the basics of what you needed to do. If you looked at his styles, it didn't really change much, but it was basically the basics of, you know, settling yourself down and getting into it. And, you know, like everybody wants to do these wild and great things, but, you know.
He kept it old school?
Yeah, he kept it old school, and it was still good.
You know, in a little bit of a story that some of y'all might not know or whatever. Yes, I'm sure if anybody's listened to this stupid show once again, like I've stated before. You might have heard me rant on that, you know, Mike Choi was sitting there, you know, charging $60 a headshot. This guy still was selling headshots of commissions for $25 and was beautiful. I mean, just some of the best art I've ever seen.
And even then, he would just ask for a donation to the Hero Initiative.
Oh, he was a big backer of that. In fact, he was one of the main staples.
Yeah.
I knew that too. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, once again, and it was so funny because his headshots that he did for commissions sold out in probably 3 hours.
Yeah, and he did those beforehand.
Yeah.
Before getting to the show, he'd draw up, 10, 12 headshots, and he'd get there, and within a half hour to an hour.
They were all gone. They were all gone. Every one of them.
He was just an actual nice person to talk to.
Yeah.
You know? And he took the time to talk to
him. And that was a cool thing about him. Cause, mm-hmm. And I don't know we went down to his studio a couple of times. And we actually talked to him. So, you know, not the interview or anything, just to actually talk to the man to find, you know, he was actually.
Just to sit there and watch him work, you know, you knew you were in the presence of greatness in his chosen profession. You know, I mean, that dude brought a lot of the page just as good as anybody who was younger than him, half his age, you know.
I mean, he was primarily known as an inker,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, just some of the stuff that he worked on, he usually inked a good friend of him, Neil Adams.
Mm-hmm.
He inked some of the books that we may have heard of, the Green Lantern, Green Arrow series from DC.
And they just came out with the statue of when Superman fought Muhammad Ali from DC, he inked that
as well.
Yeah, they just came out with the statue. I just saw it in previews 2010 April.
And Superman versus the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, where he's up on the...
I have that in that crossover
really?
Trade, yeah.
He inked that as well.
And, in fact, a couple years back, MegaCon, when he was the guest of honor, the city of Orlando deemed it Dick Giordano Day.
Yep.
It was sometime in February or March. I can't remember what it was, but, yeah, they deemed it Dick Giordano Day. And it wasn't a nicer guy, you know, to talk to.
Sure wasn't.
Sure, I mean, and the list goes on and on. He even did a little bit of work for Marvel, but mostly is known with for his work in DC.
Absolutely.
Drawing comics with Dick Giordano.
Yeah, you know what? Of which I have.
And you know what's awesome is that the fact that while we're sitting here, we're talking about it, it's like when we went out to the studio, saw all the books that DC had sent him because he had been a former editor-in-chief, didn't realize how much stuff that he had actually worked on himself until I was there and looking at the stuff that he had done. I was like...
One thing some of these new artists might need to know, talking about hard times because they got so much due and stuff like that. That man was drawing 2 issues, and it looked fantastic every month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because back then, you know, you didn't complain. You just did it.
Yeah, on time.
On time, too. Not 3 months, not 8 months, or late or whatever, dude. I mean, dude was just hard-nosed, man.
That's old school for you.
Yeah. I mean, God,
rest in peace, Dick.
No doubt.
Unless you know, the direct edition, just want to give out tribute to Dick Giordano.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how we do it here.
I mean, like I said, once again, you know, well, respect and wishes to all those and their family members who passed.
Live life, enjoy it, make the best out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you love and never give up.
Man, I like that.
No one's half the battle.
That sounds familiar.
I've heard that somewhere before.
I think it was in a box of Wheaties.
A box of Wheaties? What the? Where did you come up with that shit from?
Just saying. I thought I heard it on a box.
I like Wheaties.
Yeah, I like Wheaties too.
I don't.
Yeah, put sugar on them though.
Yeah, so I was saying, sheets of paper and milk.
Yeah, that cut out cardboard pieces that y'all wanted to eat. Okay, y'all can have that.
Kind of like Raisin Bran. It's like raisins and slices, little slices of toilet tissue. As soon as the milk hits it, it's soggy.
That's what I couldn't stand about Pops.
Back to our dedication.
Pops? What the fuck? Where the fuck did that go?
All of us, I mean, we all just went on that.
This is for bloopers and blunders.
Direct edition.
But that's how we do it.
Yeah, because you know we focus so well.
That's how we do it at direct edition.
I'm surprised we got this far being serious.
Yeah.
But that's how we do it at Direct Edition. Don't forget to check out a few of our YouTube videos. Just put Direct Edition in the search engine. Of course, listen to the podcast.
Volume 1 and Volume 2.
And Volume 2.
More coming.
That's what she said.
Sorry.
More coming. Get it.
We'll holler at you later. Peace.
Peace.
Later.
And I'm out.